Mike Houston.
Okay. All right. Good afternoon, guys. How you doing? Fitting with 2020, a year of unforeseen things and new stuff, we thought it'd be, you know, appropriate to show you a little bit of how we went about recruiting this year. So this is our virtual living room that we've used all throughout the year or all throughout the fall for in-home visits and meetings with players and parents. And so, you know, we're coming to you from this spot today just to talk about our signing class. You know, a virtual signing class, I guess. So, you know, just there's so much around this signing day that's so much different just because of how you had to operate this year. But appreciate you guys getting on here to cover it. Excited about the group of young men that we're going to talk about. They're now Pirates. The signing class is comprised right now of 16 signees. We still do have 5 remaining slots that we're going to be very deliberate with. You know, this is going to be a year where, and we've talked very honestly with recruits about this, I think you're going to see a lot of different things as we go throughout the spring semester and summer. You know, with the NCAA granting everyone an additional year of eligibility, certainly a lot of programs around the country are figuring out how to manage rosters right now. I think you're going to see limited spaces. I think you could possibly see some really, really good players struggling to find a home. So, you know, we're going to be very cautious with our 5 remaining slots. We're going to be very deliberate with how we use them. We can talk about that a little bit as we go on. But I do want to talk about the 16 guys that have signed with us this morning right now here first. So just to give you some background before we go through each of them individually, we're today signing 4 student-athletes from the state of North Carolina, 2 from the state of Virginia, 1 from South Carolina, 3 from the state of Alabama, 2 from the state of Florida, 2 from Ohio, 1 from Texas, and 1 from Georgia. Of those 16 signees, 7 will be mid-year enrollees who will start with us here next month when the January semester starts back up. Looking a little bit further at our breakdown, this group is comprised of 8 offensive players, 7 defensive players, and 1 specialist. 2 offensive linemen, 1 running back, 2 wide receivers, 2 tight ends, 1 quarterback, and then on defense, 1 linebacker, 1 D lineman, 4 safeties. Now, one of those safeties, I think, could end up playing a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage as he develops. 1 corner, and then 1 kicker punter. You know, of those 5 remaining slots, obviously, several of those are earmarked specifically for offensive linemen as we continue to look for exactly what we want with those slots. Just to kind of go alphabetically through the signees, and then I'll take any questions that you guys have about them. First one, Jaden Chalmers. He's a corner from Sanford, North Carolina, Lee County High School. He spent this past year at Fork Union, 6 foot 180. He is going to mid-year. Jaden's a young man who was a part of our recruiting class during the 2020 summer. He signed with the University of North Carolina, ended up at Fork Union. Really excited to have him. You know, he and I have talked, and his parents just, you know, all things happen for a reason. He's excited to be a Pirate. We're excited to have him. Really stood out for us in camp last summer with the speed that he has, great length, just really, you know, outstanding, talented young man. Kanan Clark, offensive lineman, coming Georgia, 6'6", 300 for Forsyth Central High School. Kanan, a young man who played primarily D-line there at Forsyth Central, obviously big body, good athlete. He's a guy that we're going to, you know, start training up. Coach Shankwaller is really excited to have him. Think he's got a big upside. Jacob Coleman, tight end, Chesterfield, Virginia, Matoka High School, 6'4", 215. His older brother, Jonathan, is a safety for us here. So know the family very, very well. I've been recruiting Jacob for a couple of years. He spent significant time here on campus. I think he's got a huge upside. Excited about him and everything that he's going to bring to our program. Avery Durham, D lineman from Fort Bush High School in Yadkinville, North Carolina. Avery's coming to us as a preferred walk-on, 6'7", 305. I think a young man that has a ton of potential. You know, he's one that I wished the pandemic really prevented us from having him in camp, prevented us from, you know, really, you know, being able to get him here and really work him out. So really excited to have him join the program. I think he could have, you know, just a tremendous upside here. So DJ Ford, safety, Ashland, Alabama, 6'3", 215. He's mid-yearing. Obviously, he's been at the University of North Carolina the past several years. Very high-end player for them. Starter in their secondary last year. Outstanding young man, high character, very intelligent, really, really great playmaker. You know, you watch his highlights from there at UNC, sideline to sideline safety. I think he can play multiple positions in the back end, and just really excited to have him. Ryan Jones, I can finally speak of Ryan. Igo got me in trouble this summer. I can't, it may have been Ronnie. One of you two did. Anyway, Ryan Jones, tight end from Charlotte, North Carolina, Mallard Creek High School, one of the best high school programs in the state. You know, has been at the University of Oklahoma the past several years. He was on defense there. 6'2", 235 pounds, very explosive athlete. You know, wanted to find somewhere to transition to try to, you know, play on the offensive side of the ball, which is where he starred at Mallard Creek High School. I think he's a guy that can really develop into a really top-end player, has 2 years left, so excited to get him here as part of this signing class. Troy Lewis, wide receiver, Chesterfield, Virginia, 6'3", 200 out of Motoka High School. Again, a high school program that we know very well. Have a great relationship there with them. We'll now have four players from Motoka on our roster with Troy and Jacob joining us. Troy's a big receiver, great hands, strength, you know, very intelligent young man, smart football player. You know, think he can really, you know, develop into a solid player for us. TJ Lockley, wide receiver from Daytona Beach, Florida, Mainland High School, 6 foot, 175. TJ he's done about everything there at Mainland. He played wide receiver, kick returner, safety. This year he played a lot of the year quarterback there. Has had an outstanding prep career. Maybe the fastest signee in the group. One of the most athletic, was a great playmaker there. Excited to get him here. Looking at probably playing him in the slot here. You've been really an enjoyable kid to recruit. You guys are going to enjoy interviewing him. A lot of personality. Mom's excited to have him here, and just you know, really, really can't wait to get him on campus and start working with him. Lath Margin, kicker punter, Cary, North Carolina, Enloe High School, 6'3", 195. Lath's an important guy for us to get. You know, with Jake Verity making the decision to declare for the NFL draft. Certainly we have Patrick and Owen here who will compete with Lath for the place kicking job and kickoff job this fall. Lath is an outstanding talent, very highly rated by all the kicking experts. I think he's going to bring a lot to our program and look forward to that competition this summer and fall. Joseph Pop McKay, Phoenix City, Alabama, Central High School, 6 foot, 215. Yeah, I thought it was important to add a running back in this class. Obviously, we're excited about our running back room here. You know, one thing that stood out about Pop, you know, we were very honest with all of our recruits about what we had on our current roster. We were honest with him about Rajay and Keaton and Darius and Demetrius and the other guys that we have here. He doesn't flinch. You know, he's you know, outstanding high school football player, big guy with some speed, runs with power. You know, had a lot of offers down there in Phoenix City. Ended up committing to us. I think he's going to be a great addition to that room, and he'll push for playing time as soon as he gets here. So excited to have him. Kingston McKinstry, DB from Grove City, Ohio, 6'2", 200, at Iowa Central Community College right now. Run and hit. You know, you're going to hear me talk about several of these DBs like that. I mean, that's what Kingston does. Great open field tackler, has tremendous length, very explosive player, solid speed, you know, has a chance to be a really, really good player for us. Richard Pierce, O-lineman from Homewood, Alabama, Hueytown High School, 6'4", 300. Richard's going to mid-year. He'll be here in January. Big frame, solid athlete. I think can develop into a really top-end offensive lineman. Plays with edge. Has some nasty to him. Just, you know, really like a lot about him. You know, very mature, very serious, very determined young man. So think he's going to be a good one. Walter Simmons III, quarterback, Orange Park, Florida, 6'2", 180, Oak Leaf High School. Walter will also mid-year. You know, as we went through this process, obviously, we invested a lot in the quarterback position last year and feel good about that group. So we said, you know, at that position, we're only going to offer a guy if he is just an exceptional talent. Walter is the one quarterback that had a solid offer from East Carolina this year. And I told him all throughout the process that he was the only one that we were going to take a commitment from. And so when he committed, obviously we were very excited about that. Good thrower, I think can develop into a really an exceptional thrower, has a strong arm, great athlete, you know, great hips, feet, you know, top end speed, mature, great competitor, you know, dad, just, you know, a solid household right there that Walter comes from. So just I think that kid's got a lot of potential. Excited to have him this spring. Jacoby Simpson, inside linebacker, Houston, Texas, 6'2", 225, out of Cisco Community College, another mid-year guy, originally signed with TCU. Jacoby's a guy, older guy, can come in. He can compete for playing time immediately. He's going to be a guy that will be able to play four core on special teams, compete at inside linebacker, could probably play some outside linebacker as well, runs very, very well. Just another guy really excited about. Cruz Temple, DB, Abbeville, South Carolina, 6'2", 205, from Abbeville High School. Cruz is going in mid-year as well. You talk about run and hit, and that's what he does now. He brings it. Great open field tackler, explosive guy. I've known his dad probably for 20 years. I know that program very, very well. He's going to be a tough kid. He's going to bring that instantly to our roster. Really, really a guy to be excited about. Julius Wood, DB, Canal, Winchester, Ohio, 6'2", 200, from Blinn Community College. You know, Julius, another guy in that secondary, great length, good speed, great open field tackler, very aggressive, plays with a lot of toughness. Another older guy that will come in and compete immediately for playing time. Was a little bit touch and go now. He had a lot of traffic here at the end. But excited to have him sign with us. So, you know, overall the signing class, although it's not as big as our signing class last year, very excited about the high-end ability of the signing class. Obviously, we are not done yet, and that's, you know, by design. You know, we have specific things that we're looking for, those remaining slots. So we'll be continuing to recruit throughout the month of January. May or may not sign all five in February. You could possibly see us hold a couple for the summer. I just think it's going to be that kind of year in college football with recruiting. So, you know, this group, excited about them, excited about our returning roster. I think they mesh together well to give us, you know, what we want going into the 2021 season. Questions?
Coach, the defensive backfield in particular, just I know you guys wanted to upgrade the speed and length there. How satisfied are you with kind of the haul there?
Very. You know, it's, you know, and we like what we have right now, but, you know, as we've talked about towards the end of the season, I mean, because of injuries and limited numbers, and it's been a problem here since I took the job, you know, you had one game, we had two healthy safeties. So we knew we wanted to, you know, generate more depth. We knew we wanted to get longer and faster. You know, this is these guys we're signing are ready to come in and play right now. So they're going to be great competition this spring. It's going to upgrade our special teams because that's where safeties play. It's going to, you know, create the depth where, you know, we can play guys, you know, 40 and 50 snaps a game instead of having to play a guy 75 snaps a game and hope he doesn't have a cramp. And it's going to give some of our real young guys, because we do have some real, real young DBs, it's going to give some of them a little bit more time to mature, you know, instead of having to play them before they're ready. So extremely pleased with that group. The biggest thing that sticks out about them is all of them are great open field tacklers.
Hey, when you look at the tight end room, Coach Houston, you had a few today, and obviously Travion, you moved to tight end, and is some of it you can't have too many tight ends? You want to utilize that, or could guys still kind of move around, or what do you think there?
Well, you know, when I got here, we had one on the roster, and obviously if you're going to play with one or two tight ends all the time, you know, you got to have numbers. So, you know, we wanted to add some depth to that room. I think we do have some position flexibility in that room. You're probably going to see us, look at Jeremy Lewis on the defensive side of the ball this spring. It's something that he really wants to do. He and I have talked about it. It's what he was committed here as out of high school. I asked him to move to tight end, when I got here. He's done a great job there. But I think this does give us some flexibility there. You know, I think you look at the two we're bringing in. You know, obviously we're excited about Shane. We're excited about Zach. We'll see how Travion develops. But obviously with these two we're bringing in, you know, I think Ryan Jones is probably a guy that's ready to go as soon as he steps foot on campus. He's been preparing for this. Jacob is going to be a really good player. We'll see how prepared he is this first year. You do have, you know, that room has – you know, really quality depth and ability for many years to come.
Coach, at this point, are you guys expecting a potential signee later today, or is that up in the air at this point?
You could. Obviously I can't talk about that a whole lot, but you could see none, you could see one, you could see three. We did send a couple out. I think if over the next couple of days, if they decide that it's, you know, what they want to do right now, then they're going to do that. But with all these remaining spots, we're going to be very, very careful and very particular about what we use them for.
Mike, what was this recruiting experience like for you? Obviously, you show us where you were sitting for these virtual settings, but I know you're a people person. How would you evaluate this situation given the pandemic?
You know, I think my staff and, you know, some of the people in recruiting and Coach Gunner and Jarrett, and I think they made it absolutely as good as they could. I mean, I really applaud our staff and how we used our resources because I do think we were able to give families somewhat of an experience in spite of the restrictions. You know, we have virtual tours of every facility within the athletic footprint and, you know, within the footprint of campus. It is just really, really tough. It is hard on the recruits and families. It's hard on us as coaches because, you know, I think one of the selling points of ECU is bringing a kid here and putting him in Dowdy Ficklin Stadium and, seeing Pirate Nation. I think, you know, another big point is our facilities. Another big point is just our campus in general. But the big thing for me is getting to know the recruits personally. You know, it's just like this right here. I mean, certainly I can see your face on a screen, but that's different than sitting and talking to somebody in their living room and shaking their hand and having, you know, dialogue with them multiple times as you have visits throughout the year. So it's a different experience. It's one of the reasons that a couple of these guys are a lot more known factors to us. And we feel better about that. It's why we went with some older players. You know, you see a lot of guys that are either grad transfers or junior college guys. The vast majority did play football this fall. I thought that was another factor that's important. It's been 2020. It's been unlike anything any of us have ever experienced before. I hope we don't have to ever go through it again, because I do not like the process this way.
One quick follow-up, Mike. Do you feel like the recruits and the families of those recruits were maybe a little bit more understanding given the year that it's been from a virtual setting?
Sure. I mean, it's because that's the way they've had to live their life. You know, they, all of them, they become accustomed to Zoom and accustomed to doing things virtually. And, of course, all the universities had to function the same way. So, some of them did make just random trips. You know, we weren't involved in it anyway. But some of them did, you know, drive through Greenville just to see things, last summer during vacations or whatever on their way to the coast. But it was something where I think everybody was trying to figure out how to navigate during this, you know, dead period recruiting cycle.
How did the NCHSAA postponing the season impact in-state recruiting this year?
Well, you know, we offered a large number of recruits this past spring and summer based on their junior film. And of course, all those recruits had committable offers at the time. The fact that, you know, those guys either signed with someone else or signed with us. And then what you didn't have is you didn't have those guys that you find during a summer camp. You find during their senior year of high school, you know, because they have that additional year of growth and development. And on senior tape eval, you say, hey, that kid's got a shot. So I think that, you know, delaying things till the spring, sure, I think it's held back some of those guys that didn't have offers going into their senior year. But it also is going to be opportunities, you know, in the spring semester recruiting cycle. Possibly there could be a scholarship opportunity there for somebody. I think you're definitely going to see us probably, you know, attract really quality walk-ons this spring after senior eval. But again, it's like we talked about back in the middle of the fall. All this stuff with the extra year of eligibility, the ramifications on the recruiting cycle are not just 1 year. I think it's going to be a 2 or 3 year deal where it's going to impact our roster and high school recruits.
Coach Houston, I know you said after the win over SMU that you got a lot of response from players that had committed to the program. Maybe talk about how the end of the season kind of impacts this group that's coming in terms of their excitement.
Well, I mean, I think you see, you know, some of the videos of our sideline during that SMU win at home. A couple of the older signees, you know, DJ Ford was one of them. He said, you know, at North Carolina, they pride themselves on playing with a lot of energy. He said, your guys, that sideline is just, you know, crazy. You know, so I think they saw our style of play. I think that mattered. I think really they saw, you know, the excitement of our roster, because I thought our kids did a really good job late in the year of generating enthusiasm on the sideline that you usually would have in the stands from Pirate Nation. And then they can look back at the way the stadium is, you know, during a non-pandemic, at some of the older videos from the past several years, and see just, you know, kind of what kind of energy and excitement there is around the program. So I do think that it was important for us to finish the season strong, obviously for our returning roster. It was important, I think, but also with these guys coming in, it's very important.
Coach, I think, you know, Troy Lewis and Coleman might be the only two players. There may be a couple more that haven't played this fall, or at least y'all have gotten film with the rest of them or had them on campus. How important was that to at least know what you're getting in a lot of these situations?
Yeah, I mean, it was important for those two. I mean, it makes you feel better about taking them, but, you know, without them playing high school football this fall. You don't know what kind of impact that's going to have on the student athletes. You know, obviously we've been talking to Troy and Jacob very closely. They've been training and doing the best that they can up there in Virginia. Looking forward to them hopefully having a season this spring. But the big thing that I've talked to them about is whether you have a season or don't have a season, you've got to be ready to go this summer. And so fortunately, you know, we got several guys from our program that live in the Richmond area. So a lot of those guys are working out here during the Christmas break. I think that'll help. And just, you know, Jonathan being here with us, you know, Jacob understands what he's coming into as far as, you know, competing and training. So it's not ideal not playing this fall, but it's what everybody's got to deal with.
Hey, Mike, I thought Ryan Jones might have been the best prospect in our state when he came out of Mallard Creek. Once he entered the transfer portal, was that an immediate interest on you guys? And how did that whole process go when you guys contacted him or him contacted you?
Well, I mean, it was pretty quick that we expressed interest in him and he expressed interest in us. Obviously, you know, there's several coaches there on staff at Oklahoma, including the head coach, who is very connected to East Carolina University. So it was pretty easy for us to do research on Ryan and just check him out. Obviously, we were hopeful that we were going to have him for this fall. You know, ended up he was one credit short, and so he took that credit this fall and is now graduating from Oklahoma. But, you know, I agree with you. I mean, I think he is, you know, a very high-end talent individual. It's been a couple of years since he's played offense, so it might, I'm glad he's getting here for the spring because it'll take that kind of to get him back in the groove. But obviously his explosive playmaking ability is pretty special. So I think you can see us use him, you know, really all over the field offensively.
Does he remind you of anybody that you've had previously?
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, for a guy that big to be able to run and jump the way he does, I mean, he's pretty explosive. So it's a rare combination that he has of size and athletic ability.
With the wide receivers, can you just kind of expand on their abilities? Are those guys that can come in and play? Obviously, you just lost Pearl to the draft, and, you know, there's opportunities for them to come in and make an impact kind of right away.
Right. You know, well, I think so. I mean, Troy's a bigger kid. He's probably a little more in the frame of CJ or Tyler Savage or one of those guys. You know, how ready he's going to be to play, don't know just yet. You know, obviously he has solid film from his junior year, but, you know, again, he's one of those guys we haven't seen senior tape. So, you know, we'll see just how ready he is his freshman year. With TJ, obviously being able to play this fall, he had a great year. I think he's a little bit different player. I think speed-wise and athletic ability-wise, I think he can compete right away. Now, he's got to, you know, acclimate himself to a college scheme. So he'll get here this summer. So hopefully that learning curve will be pretty quick with him. But I do think he's got that big playability of a Josiah Hatfield, of a Sneed, you know, one of those guys.
Coach, you don't anticipate any more possible departures for the NFL draft, do you?
I don't anticipate any, no.
Coach, in a year where you guys didn't have a chance to get any prospects in for camp, was it kind of refreshing when Jaden Chalmers became available and you guys had him in for camp last year?
Right.
To sign him?
Well, I think it made it a pretty easy and quick decision for both he and his family and us. You know, his parents have been here on campus. They've sat in my office. You know, they know me. They know, you know, kind of what we believe in. I know him. I know what kind of family he comes from. Obviously, having him in camp, and, I mean, we were joking. I mean, I can remember when I timed him because I didn't believe my watch, you know, the first rep. I think he was right around 4.4 flat on grass. And so, you know, that's pretty elite speed. So, you know, when we had the opportunity, I think it was something that was pretty easy for both him and us to make the decision.
You referenced it a little earlier, but is today maybe not final? I mean, is this obviously a huge step, but only kind of the first step where you're still going to have some evaluating and movement and recruiting kind of still left to do next few days, next months, you know, that type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we were talking this morning. Signing day has changed so much. You know, I can remember, you know, when I was a high school senior, you know, the coach from the college came to your school and you did the signing in person right there and took the picture. And then, you know, the way it was for so many years, where you had the one signing day in February and you had the official visits, you know, all through December and January, and it was, you're sitting on pins and needles on signing day, you know, waiting for the facts to come in. And, you know, now, you know, even without there being a pandemic, signing days changed so much because you have a round here in December, but you have another opportunity in February. Now, obviously, last year, I think we signed just, you know, one or two in February, signed the bulk in December. This year, just with a lot of the things that I referenced earlier, I just think there's going to be a lot of movement, you know, still within the rosters this spring and this summer. And I think there's going to be limited spots. I think you're going to see people, you know, run out of space because of running out of initial counters. And you're going to have players out there looking for homes who are very, very talented, and most of the FBS programs are going to be filled up. I just think you're going to see a trickle-down effect to FCS and to Division II from that. I think you're going to see, you know, really high-end walk-ons available. And I think you're going to see teams signing guys in February. I think you're going to see teams signing guys in the summer. So I think this is one of those years that's different from any other, just like everything else of 2020, where, you know, today's the first step, but you know, our recruiting class won't be finalized until much later on.
Mike, this isn't a recruiting question, but after yesterday's announcement from the league, were you able to congratulate Rajay and maybe have a conversation with him, all of his accomplishments? What were you able to say to him?
Yeah, we spoke yesterday morning, and the big thing was just how proud I am of him. But number two, you know, this is one of those things that, you know, myself, Coach Sims, Rajay, his dad, you know, we all talked about this kind of stuff. You know, I think he's an above average player, obviously. I think he's got an extremely high ceiling. And, you know, the big thing that I talked to him about yesterday is I've had so many freshmen over the years that had a great freshman year and then, you know, maybe fell off a little bit as a sophomore. And that's not how he's wired. Again, that's not how his dad raised him. And so I just challenged him that this is just the first step in his development here at East Carolina. But obviously we're very proud of him, you know, very excited for him, proud of Tyler Snead. I thought he should have been first team in both spots. Excited he got, you know, selected in two spots, but I thought, you know, he should have probably been a first team player along with Jaquan, you know, and Xavier. I thought he should have been on the all conference team and not honorable mention, but every coach feels that way about his players. You know, we're all, you know, kind of homers, to that degree, but, you know, hopefully next year we're sitting here, you know, in bowl practice, getting ready for a ball game with a lot more selections.
Coach, you kind of hit it on earlier with the final few spots. I know the offensive line looks like a big need for you guys. Any other specific positions you're looking for, or is that kind of to be determined?
You know, I think, you know, O-line's the big one, and probably looking at a couple of older guys. If we took a high school guy, it would have to be a pretty high-end player, because really we want some older depth at this point. So possibly see us take a dynamic playmaker as a grad transfer or something like that on offense. You could possibly see us take, you know, maybe a very high-end pass rusher on the D-line. But, you know, I think those are kind of the areas we're looking right now.
Coach, do you know at this time who the season opener next season will be against?
Appalachian State.
In
Thursday night, Bank of America Stadium.
Okay.
One aspect of this, Coach, the normal recruiting visit on person or in person, not only the coaches, but the players, the current players can connect to recruits. You know, that precision.
Yeah.
You get assigned a visit, whatever it is, a chauffeur for the weekend.
Right.
Is that another challenge of this somehow? Maybe mixing the current players with guys where they don't have even some level of familiarity at all?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we, within our visits, we had, you know, different nights and did different things up here in in Garrett's suite. And, you know, one of the nights we had a thing set up outside. We had four or five of our current players just do a video chat with all of our, you know, recruits, and had the stadium lights on, field painted, all that stuff. But, you know, they sat out there for probably 45 minutes just talking, and a very lively, you know, conversation. We had to try to do stuff like that, you know, just to get kind of some interaction with our current players, just so parents and players can kind of see the type of young men we have in our program. You know, I think that's one of the strengths we have right now in the program is the character and the culture that we have in the locker room. And I think that's something that's important we try to show to recruits and parents because, you know, that's so hard to build and create. But it's something that's so vital to being successful. So, yeah, I think it hurts not having, you know, the ability for people to come and meet our players in person. It's something we try to do the best we could with, but still it's going to be something that, you know, we're going to have to maybe do a little bit more of that generating, you know, camaraderie, you know, getting the team unified this spring and summer with the new guys coming in. Okay, anything else? All right, appreciate you guys and your time today. Look forward to seeing you again soon. Everybody have a great Christmas.